It's a wonderful place to be in a place of anointing, isn't it? It's not of man. You know, you can do all the right steps, you can go on all the right courses. But without the anointing, as it says in the authorized version of the Bible in Isaiah, the anointing breaks the yoke. Glory to God. And I don't know what yoke is upon you, but I do know this, that when the anointing of God just comes upon a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, that anointing breaks the yoke. Jesus does not want us to be yoked to anything but him, to walk step by step with him in this world. It's not just a crazy world that we live in. It's just unbelievable. I never thought in my lifetime I would see some of the things that are being passed as right, which are so wrong. And things which are right and normal, we're told that we're wrong and bigots and prejudiced and so on. But I know this, that God's word is true. And he's shown to you and to me the ancient paths where the good way is. And we need to walk in the ancient paths because they're the paths that lead to life everlasting. He has put your feet in high places. You and I were destined not for low places, but for high. And when the disciples were with Jesus, when he had gone into heaven, he'd been resurrected, ascended to heaven, and he said that he would return again. And where did they go? They went out of fear, and they hid away, and they didn't let their light shine. Because they were missing something. They were missing someone. And that someone is called God, the Holy Spirit. Now, some people teach that the Holy Spirit of God is just a force. Doesn't have a personality. But that's not true. Because Jesus said, when he comes, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you. All the right ways to think, to live, to move. Now, I don't have all the answers, even though my wife tells me I think I have. But I do know this, that for those who put their trust in the Lord, when darkness comes, God will be a light. Beautiful little picture here of a young girl who's now with the Lord. Most wonderful moving service on Friday of Little Hope Esther. And so pleased that a number of folk from here, and Peter worked so hard, practical side, and others just went along. And it was wonderful hearing the mother of Hope just giving a testimony. How she could do it was amazing. And the family, and this little girl, and this is the exception, by the way, not the rule, for children. And at one level, I do want to show them the children in, but another, that's up to you parents if you want to. But you'll see this drawing, this little girl. You probably can't see it too clear, but that's her family. And on top of the heads of all of her family are tongues of fire. And just a few days before she went to be with the Lord, she was just sitting up. She couldn't get up. She was totally bedbound. And she was just praying. And her mother, Alison, just said to her, Hope, what are you doing? She said, I'm just praying, Mummy. And she said, well, what are you praying about? She said, I'm praying for you. And she said, I'm just praying that you will meet with Jesus like I am. You know, there are many other drawings as well that I could show you. And it was as though this child, this was her calling, this was her destiny, much prayer, fasting, everything had taken place. Does it mean that God doesn't answer prayer? No, it doesn't. In fact, it means we should pray more. Because the story went on, the mother told the story, and I knew other parts of it as well, from others in the family. It was just all about giving glory to the Lord, with insight and revelation beyond a 9-year-old could possibly know or understand. No wonder Jesus said, you just come as little children, for of such is the kingdom of God. And when I just looked at these, well, I was given this particular one. Again, the last time she was in a meeting, I was actually speaking at the church there. And she didn't know, but I was speaking on the coming of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was given this. It's amazing how God is preparing hearts and lives. Those people that we saw before in Egypt, and I know that they look very prosperous and so on. Obviously, some of them are, but many of them in an abject poverty. But they still praise God. At the end of the day, we live in the light of eternity. What God is doing now is not just in time. It's an eternal work. When God the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he teaches you not about your own plans and ambitions and goals and visions, but he prepares you for your real destiny, for the real answer that God has got. Isn't it amazing that the Jewish people are praying for the Mashiach to come? They don't know he's come already, and he's coming back a second time. But how important is it that we're ready when the Lord returns? Now, I'm sure you all know there was an earthquake yesterday. Many people made light of it, just thought it was almost a bit of a joke. There's only a tremor, nobody got injured, and thank God for that. No buildings came down, but the epicenter was down in South Wales, and it spread throughout the country, and even here, it had spread. You know, the Bible tells me quite clearly that there's going to come signs, there's going to come events that will happen, that people will be in this, called by God, to realize that there's bigger things than in this world. And some things are no joking matter. Unfortunately, I had to read the statistics not so long ago about the number of abortions in our country. It's wicked. It's evil. Whatever things we sow, they are the things that we reap. If you sow to unrighteousness, said in America with this terrible, terrible slaughter in this high school took place, and this person was complaining about God. Where was God in this? And this Christian, very graciously, they just said, well, hang on, you banned God from schools. You said God isn't allowed in schools. The children aren't allowed to pray any longer. The teachers aren't allowed to talk about God or sing hymns. So you throw God out, and then you wonder why there's no protection. His banner over you is love. Everything in your life, God wants to use to turn it for good. God does not want you to be a desperate, lonely person. God wants you to be the most fulfilled person on this earth. Demas Shakarian, he started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, and his book was called The Happiest People on Earth. It was a testimony of how God had been with him, a successful businessman. And then he just wanted to give it all back to God. How much are you willing to give back to God? You've given him this Sunday morning. But you know, in the week, when you're challenged, when somebody says something blasphemous, do you join in? Or are you going to make a stand? God wants us in these days to make powerful stands. I've been saying this for years, and others have preached the same message. And not just because I personally have stood on the brink of eternity. But you know, we've got to be so resolute and determined. There is nothing greater than that wonderful anointed song that we sung, than knowing Jesus. As a young man, I'd come to know the Lord. I was really in a good place with God, seeking God, finding him in incredible ways. And one night I went to sleep and I had the most horrendous demonic attack. Those who've had them, and I know others have similarly here, you can't describe it, and I don't want to really in one sense, except to say it's the most depressive, awful thing. You feel so the life is just going out of you. There's nothing you can do. And there was nothing I could do except say one word. You've got it. And it was as though this word was just deep inside of me, and I could only just about whisper it, just think the whisper. And as I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it was an incredible experience. Suddenly it was as though the chains just flew off, the darkness just lifted, and the light was just there. Does God want you to have dynamic experiences with him? Yes, he does. So wonderful. Now, Jonathan just told the other week, and of course we were there, we've been praying for years, but that anointing that just suddenly came upon him from nowhere. And Tino gave that great testimony how he almost gave up his talents of playing. And then through that, an anointing comes, because God had a greater plan. Through the darkest time, the hardest time, the loneliest time of your life, God wants you to break through. Because he is the Lord of the breakthrough, not the Lord of the give up. I don't want to be a fair weather Christian. I've seen too many. The Christians, when the sun is shining and lovely day like today, got some money in the bank and so on. But the real test of my faith is Jimmy just the other week ministered here, Jimmy Brown, didn't he? That I might know him. The power of his resurrection, amen. But the fellowship of what? The fellowship of his sufferings. How do we share in those sufferings of Christ? Well, I believe just like the family of hope, this is part of that fellowship, that through it, in it, that God is found. God can be found in the darkest of places. God can be found anywhere. Can I go from his presence if I go to the highest heaven? He's there. But also, if I go to the lowest hell, if I take the wings of the morning, he is there. God is for us, so who can be against us? And the only thing that you need and I need for the reality and the power of the name of Jesus to become operative is the anointing. The anointing that breaks the yoke. Now, anointing, Christos, the anointing in the Old Testament, it was, or the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, the anointing was of oil, holy, consecrated, set apart oil. And there are people today, here, right now, who need a new anointing upon their lives. You were not made to be ordinary. You were anointed to be extraordinary. Glory to God. God has not made you to get through or for your Christianity just to be an add-on to the way that you live. Jesus be the center. When Christ is the center, when Christ is right there deep inside of you, then you know that you're in the right relationship with the Lord. A fortnight today, I just had this wonderful encounter with God. It's wonderful when it just happens. I was just quietly sitting there, and suddenly I just experienced God in a fabulous way. Are you jealous? Yeah. Well, you should be. But there's a reason for it, which I'm not going to go into now. But it was wonderful. And the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, I know personally of many, many in this room, and many not in this room, who've had incredible encounters with the living God. You don't just come because this is a place where you come. You come because God has met with you. Fabulously met with you. But he's not called us just to look backwards. Gwyn and I are just at a stage where we're looking back on a lot of things as we just get to the top of that hill with a big 7-0 there. But you know, it's not about looking backwards. It's pressing on. And one of my favorite scriptures as well, as eye has not seen, is that I've finished the faith, the race. I've kept the faith. And now there awaits for me a crown of righteousness. Are you going to keep running? Are you going to keep the faith? There's many challenges. Many. But you need to stand up for Jesus. You need to be bold and strong. Not in your own strength. You can't do it. I've tried in my strength so many times and failed. But what you need is this encounter with God, the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing, oil upon your head and in your life. You need God. It says it's the holy oil is like the anointing that came from the head down through the beard, through the skirts of Aaron's clothing, the high priest. That's what you want. Some people get a little bit of the anointing, and it just stops at the brain. Paul teaches quite clearly, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body, all of you, as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. For this is what? Your reasonable service. That's not something special. That's just the reasonable part of it. And if you've not got that anointing of God, if you're not under a fresh anointing, if you're just living under an old anointing, then you need to cry out to the living God. You need to get into the Word of God. Again, people today neglect the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I've done a lot of reading, still do. But there's nothing like the power of the word of God. I love it when I'm working through Leviticus again at the moment. It's a rather hard one, isn't it? Do you know this? This is just by the by. But when the Jewish teachers are teaching their children, that's the book that they begin with. Teaching them Leviticus. It's hard enough in English, isn't it? Mind you, they don't speak English anyway. But to work through that, but that goes into your heart. Because sometimes it's like that with Scripture. You get something and it just goes in your heart and you don't quite understand, well, what does this mean? Well, just hide it in your heart like Mary did, didn't she? There were things that were said which she didn't understand, but she knew that God was speaking. And today, because we live in an instant society, everything has to be instant. We've got to learn how to meditate and ponder. what do they call it today? Mindfulness. Well, I want to tell you something that's better and stronger and deeper and higher. And that's called meditating on the Word of God. When you take hold of Scripture and you just think of it, chew it, let it wash you, let it get deep inside of you, you'll be a changed man, you'll be a changed woman, not just for time, but forever. Now, this was nothing about which I was going to speak, but I do want to just share this verse with you in closing. Can you turn to it, Joe, please, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. He's got a good version up there. I can't see the print there. It's like me, it's getting a bit old. Won't come up. Well, I'll tell you what then. Nope. That's it. Oh, I can't go that fast. Now, I love these chapters. And begins in chapter 12. So if we're going to do a really good study of this, we'd really need to begin in chapter 12. But you wouldn't get home for a week or so. Here's a summary. Chapter 14. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Can you read that with me, please? Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, a lady was visiting, used to be long-standing part of Kingsway right back. I was just catching up with, I won't mention her name, briefly at the end of a meeting. And she said, you know, the people here need to realize just what they've got. This was a meeting where we'd had tongues and prophecy, worship in the Spirit. She said, I just have gone to so many places since I moved away geographically. And she said, people just take things for granted. She said, and so many churches have just let go of the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we began with the pneumaticos. That's breath. Gifts. The word for spirit, Holy Spirit, is the Ruach. That's the Hebrew. HaKodesh, the Holy Breath, the Holy Wind. And God wants the Holy Wind to bring anointing to your life. It says you've got to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Now here in this gathering, and again, I'm not going to name any names. You know who you are. There are people who have wonderful prophetic words. There are people who just bring the presence of God down when they speak in tongues and they reach out. They get words for people. Now, it's been for years, a long time for me, and that's why I thank God for that word of challenge and rebuke that was given prophetically before to wake up and rise up. You need to stir up the gift of God that is within you for these dark days in which we live. We came into existence because God, the Holy Spirit, brought an anointing. And it's wonderful when the anointing comes, not just on one person, but when you just gather, the anointing's there. And if you weren't anointed when you were outside, when you came in, the anointing just reached you and filled you. And a number still here who can testify to exactly that. That was revival. Do you long for a revival again? To breathe in of God's Spirit, to get new anointing for your life. Should the darkness just continue to overwhelm our streets and our people and our children? So good what Ernie shared before about our children. Children are heritage, a gift of the Lord. And we need for protection to be prayed for them. for anointing to come. Can a child prophesy? Now, people often say to me, why do you need this speaking in tongues? Because God put it there. And God has given it as a gift. Now, if something is a gift, it's given. No strings attached. It's given. But what have you got to do with the gift? Receive it. And there are many people who say, well, if God wants to use me and give me a gift, then he'll do it. He's done it. End of story. Where's the problem? Well, the problem's with you. And in our gatherings, there should be many more prophetic words coming forth. There should be wonderful times of vision and understanding. How can that happen in a Coptic church with all the icons and everything else? And yet the church in England, not the church of England, or that's included, the church in England is so weak and feeble. We're rich, yet the Bible says we're what? We're poor. We think we've got a lot and we've got nothing. Again, I just love it, you know, when we have our meetings that are international. See these people. Oh, I love the African worship. It's fabulous. The way they just go for God. And have many African pastor leader friends in this country who are just down at the biggest church in England, in the UK. Do you know what the name of it is? Kingsway. On a Sunday morning, they have 10,000. 10,000 just outside of Canterbury. Do you believe that God can do it for us? Well, they're praying for us. It was just a few years ago, I got a message through at the church in Nigeria. We're meeting on a Friday night. They were praying through, and they were praying through every Friday and Saturday for a month. And they were crying out to God through the night, not just for an hour. And do you know who they were praying for? Exactly. They were praying for the UK, for you and for me. Wow. How much time have you spent praying for whoever? Anyone other than when you're desperate. God's not dead, he is alive. And by his Spirit now, he wants to bring a new anointing. Pursue love. No hate. Just the love of God. God loves you so much, he'll love you out of your sin. Love me out of my sin. Made many mistakes, have many regrets, many sorrows and sadnesses. But I don't get strength by dwelling on them. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we call out on the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. I want you, beloved, I want you to seek spiritual gifts. If you're a bit afraid or you don't understand, well, there's plenty of people here who aren't afraid and do understand. And to those people I say again, stir up the gift of God that is within you. This church, this society needs it. I love it when I get words for people who aren't even in the church. I told this story, it was again so amazing. I will close in a second. But this communist was selling his papers outside of the Picton Library. And at this Picton Library, had them all, and he thrust this communist paper in my face. Said, read this, you need to, this will change your world. And I said, that won't change my world. Jesus has changed my world. And he said, oh, I don't believe in all that Jesus stuff. God gave me a revelation. I said, I know, that's because you can't even live with your own wife. And he just looked at me. And he gathered up all these papers. Never seen anyone move so quick. And he just went. Do you think God can give revelation to you about anyone? Not that I was seeking revelation, because, of course, the danger is and I've seen this 100 times, you can get puffed up. And that's why God, I believe, allows so many hard circumstances to come. Because how do we walk with God? Humbly. And you can only say, it's only through the grace of God. It's amazing grace. Folks, time moves on. But I just feel that what God is doing today and what he wants to do is to bring a new anointing into lives. If you just want prayer now for an anointing upon your life, just come out. Come out quickly. I don't keep this long, but I know. Humble yourself. Come out. Let's pray for this new anointing to stir up the gift of God within you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have some of the prayers and intercessors coming out as well, please. Stand behind. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to pray for the breath of God to come. People behind, can we have prayers, please, just behind? I want to just pray a corporate prayer. Make sure everybody's got someone behind them as we pray. That's right. Speak in tongues. Worship in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just pray, Lord. We look to you. Lord God Almighty, for a new anointing, Lord, upon this church, Lord. Upon this people, Lord. Let the anointing break every yoke, Lord. Every darkness, Lord. Every fear, Lord. Every sickness, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus. Every evil power, just be broken. Every curse upon your life, upon your family. Every hardship, be broken in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, anoint your people. Lord, let your power come. Let your glory come in this place, Lord. We cry out to you. We're desperate, Lord. Lord, we're thirsty. We're hungry, Lord, for more of you, Jesus. More of God. More of your power. More of your might, Lord. More of your holiness. More of your greatness. Lord, we're not made for darkness. We're made for light and truth and power and victory and peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Let your power come, Lord. Let your anointing come, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus.